I think it's super important that Bitcoin becomes unit of account. So I think seeing Prospera take this step is really going to lead the world forward. Just big thanks to everybody who played a role in that. And let's make sats the standard for when it comes to pricing things.
Seeing what just happened just makes me super bullish. I remember listening in on that space with Nick Carter and Jeep Bukele when the Bitcoin law came into effect and that news broke. And I remember thinking like, wow, we already have a country actually making it legal tender. Now we have Bitcoin as a unit of account. But I just wanted to say like a huge congratulations to everybody for this new news and to everybody that contributed to this. And I think it's super exciting. So thanks for that and congratulations.
Today, we are going to dive into the news about Prospera accepting Bitcoin as unit of account. What does that mean? And what is Prospera? It is the first place in the world that you can use Bitcoin as your accounting currency for your company. It means that you can go fully on the Bitcoin standard, 100%. There is no other place in the world that you are able to do this. El Salvador did adopt Bitcoin as the legal tender. Any merchant, any vendor, anyone in El Salvador has to accept Bitcoin, but they still use the US dollar as the unit of account. We will learn more about the differences between these concepts and what does it actually mean for an entrepreneur or a nonprofit to be able to use Bitcoin as unit of account. How does it simplify? What has been the challenges? We are doing the space to explain, but also you will know who you can talk to, reach out if you have any questions. Let me introduce the guests. We have Prospera, of course. It's a free private city, an economic free zone in Honduras on the island of Roatan, the beautiful island of Roatan. And it's a very interesting place to set up a business and get stuff done. We have Jorge here from Prospera. Jorge has been one of the people that has been with Prospera from the start. He is the legal expert and he has been essential in getting the decision done with regards to Bitcoin as unit of account in Prospera. We have Amity Age together with Dusan. Amity Age is the Bitcoin community at Prospera, and Dusan is the founder. Dusan is also a entrepreneur. He does a lot of other things. One of the things that he's doing is a Bitcoin mining operation in Paraguay. We have Mike Peterson with the Twitter handle Bitcoin Beach. Mike was the founder of Bitcoin Beach in El Salvador, which was an effort to create a circular economy in El Zonte. And that effort was so successful that it led to El Salvador adopting Bitcoin as legal tender. And very curious to hear how there could be synergies between Prospera and what's happening in El Salvador. And Mike is also an entrepreneur. He's been doing entrepreneurial things for many years. He also has an entrepreneurial mind aside from his nonprofit efforts in Bitcoin. We have Emilio, which is an entrepreneur in Prospera, and that is doing a scuba shop where you can dive in the beautiful coral reefs and you can find the grave of Satoshi outside the coast of Roatan. He knows all about it. We don't know how he found the grave. And we have Machankura with Kotatsu, the founder of Machankura. He is a South African entrepreneur that does sending Bitcoin or mobile money on dumb phones, but also on smartphones. And you can send Bitcoin over SMS and over USSD, enabling Africans to send Bitcoin no matter what phone they have. They're using mainly Bitcoin for all their operations. Last but not least, we have Mr. Plan Marcus, part of the Meme Factory crew, and a dear friend that called and asked such great questions after this news was announced that I felt that he has to come on and help with some of his great questions. Nice to see you all. Let's hear a couple of words from Jorge. What is Prospera?
Hello, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Prospera, That's Próspera Sede. It's a special economic zone and political subdivision of the Republic of Honduras. Right now, Próspera has a little over 1,000 acres of private land that encompasses 9 landowners. And basically, Próspera was created as a way to emulate in Honduras the economic success of other autonomous special economic zones, such as Hong Kong or the financial free zones of the United Arab Emirates. And the Honduran Congress in 2013 amended the political constitution to create the SEDE framework, which allows private developers to set up in private land and on a voluntary basis a local government that enjoys great degree of legal, economic, administrative, and political autonomy. So the landowners with investors got together and they pitched new set of rules for these 1,000 acres, and they nominated me as the local Honduran public official in charge of administering this within the private land incorporated into Próspera Sede. So that is my role. I lead the governance side of things. I am the legal representative of Próspera Sede. I was appointed by the government of Honduras, but once we get high population density, which is 35 persons per square kilometer, then my position is going to be subject to democratic procedures of the local residents of Próspera Sede. And this is the special thing about Sedes, is that because the Honduran government allowed private actors to become the driving force of creating the local government and designing a new governance regimes, then we were able to introduce market dynamics essentially to the governance market. And basically, we are motivated to increase our residents. We are motivated to create an attractive economic environment. Those are the incentives, right? To have more investors, more people coming in, and to catalyze prosperity here. And that's how the jurisdiction itself, through taxes and the fees, and also the private land developers, that's their business model, right? They capture a fraction of the prosperity that has been catalyzed by the new governance framework. Those are the incentives. And operating under those incentives, you know, we have the Bitcoin Education Center, and Lucas has been commenting to us how important and how their lives will be made so much easier if Bitcoin was allowed as unit of account. And so I'm the tax commissioner within the public governance side. And so it was fairly easy for me to approve using Bitcoin as unit of account. You could already use it in your accounting, but then when you report the taxes, it was all in dollars. And then there wasn't like clear rules. How were you going to account for Bitcoin, or how are you going to pay taxes over it? So basically, we decided to provide an option, and that is to allow taxpayers to handle their own accounting exclusively on Bitcoin. And then at the start of next fiscal year, before April 30th, you file your income tax statement, and you will be able to file it in Bitcoin and pay it in Bitcoin. We just have to figure out some international regulatory matters and some technical procedures. But right now, you are going to be able to just report how many Bitcoin you received as business income and pay 1% over it in Bitcoin. You have to gonna pay it in dollar, but you only do one conversion, which is the final amount that you're paying. So you get all the Bitcoin that you received as business income, and you get 1% of that, how much that represents in US dollar, and then you pay it to Próspera Sede tax commissioner. And eventually you'll be able to just report also in paying in Bitcoin. So any company that wishes to join this Bitcoin as unit of account, they just need to file form with the tax commissioner before January 30th. That's for companies that are already operating in Próspera Sede. Or if you set up a new company, then you'll have 30 days to provide this notice, right? Or if you have a company that has not been operating and you want to start operating, then we'll also allow you to file this notice to the tax commissioner and start operating with Bitcoin as unit of account. And so this is the story of how it came about and why we set it up, because we want to be responsive to the market demand. We want to create a space where all of you feel comfortable here in Honduras.
Thank you for that great expose, Jorge.
I'd like to know, where does one sign up?
Yes, right now you can sign up on eProspera.hn, and that's where you can apply for an electronic residency within Próspera. We're probably one of the easiest places to create an entity. You can do everything online from your home. Then we have all the facilities, you know, from the tax part. It's only 1% income tax. That's 1% over gross business income, but that's only over revenues generated within Próspera Sede. So you can have an entity, and if it's not generating revenue in Próspera Sede, then it's not bound to pay taxes in Próspera Sede. And then the only other tax is sales tax. or at 2.5%, 2.5% sales tax. Those are the only two taxes. Also, one of the things that I think might be attractive for some of you, and this is if you need it, we also set up the Roatan Financial Services Authority, which is a local financial regulator, which is not mandatory. It is an option that we have. You know, so you there are other ways for you to participate in financial services activities. But if you need a license and if you need a governmental approval to perform financial services to provide with your commercial partners or with your home governments, then this is something Prosper Aesthetic can provide through the Roatan Financial Services Authority.
And I'd like to add one thing. The organization is set up based on the ideas in the book Free Private Cities by Titus Gebel. I believe that they were also involved in the formation of Prospera. And I have set up companies in various jurisdictions around the world. And I must say that my experience with Prospera has been very nice, and it is really a service organization focused on making it easy for entrepreneurs to do business. So it's been a real pleasure interacting with you guys. Also with regards to getting this unit of account question forwarded. So it's been really cool. Marcus?
Yeah, I'm here to ask basically the stupid questions, right? Because I'm just a simple pleb and I just try to maybe summarize a little bit. So what I understand is that Prospera is free private city within the island of Roatan, which is a jurisdiction, Honduras, if I'm not mistaken. So if I have like a web shop, for instance, right, and I'm selling, I don't know, Bitcoin t-shirts or Bitcoin merchandise, and I would be able to set up my business on Prospera. And you're saying the 1% tax is only based on sales made on the island itself. So any international sales that I'd be doing are not liable for tax.
So that would depend if substantive economic activity or relationship is performed within Prospera Aesthetic. So you can have an international online business selling across the world, but you're only going to be subject to the Prospera tax jurisdiction if a relevant part of that operation is based off of Prospera Aesthetic territorially, whether that be like a management or whether that be like a call center, or it's really like an open criteria, because the multiple ways that a business can be set up, particularly international businesses. But the defining criteria is that you have a business operation in Prospera Aesthetic. If you have a business operation here, then you can export worldwide, whether it be services or shirts or whatever. But if you have a presence here, and that's a substantial presence related to the income generating activity, then you can be subject to the Prospera Aesthetic tax system. You can set up in Prospera Aesthetic, but if you're doing operations elsewhere, then you're not going to be bound by the Prospera Aesthetic tax system, and probably you will be subject to some other jurisdiction's tax authority. So it's convenient to set up at least part of the operation here, because then you can apply to the tax benefits.
Thank you, Jorge, and great clarification, Marcus. Exactly why I wanted you to join. Amity Age is a Bitcoin community building organization. Dusan, can you share more who you are and why Roatan has become a hub for this Bitcoin community?
Yes, guys. Thank you very much, Lucas. I'm here speaking for Amity. The reason why we ended up in Roatan, very coincidental. We are mining Bitcoin, and that's our main revenue activity. We're mining Bitcoin in Paraguay. And one of our mining clients 2 years ago just sent me a pictures of beautiful place. He was telling me, you just need to come here. I was like, where is this place? Like, he told me Roatan. I'm like, okay, is it Africa? Is it Asia? I had no idea. He told me it's Caribbean. I'm like, oh, perfect. Wonderful. And then he told me it's Honduras. And I'm like, wow, but Honduras, it's kind of not a very safe place, right? He told me, no, it's perfect. You definitely need to come. One of the reasons we came was because there is a Czech village on the island. And I'm from Slovakia, and we used to be where Czech Republic one nation before. So I was like, okay, I need to see that. So here we fell in love with the place. And only then we figure out about Prospera and what Prospera aims to do and this idea of private city. So I pitched the idea of a Bitcoin Academy. And the CEO of Prospera, Eric Breman, said, like, I like the idea. I would like you guys to be here and do the Bitcoin education here. So let me take you to a building which would be available and you can start immediately. I'm like, oh my God, this is going super fast. So I need to speak with my girlfriend first, then just talk through if we can, you know, have a new chapter in our lives going from Europe, setting up here. We decided to do it about 2 years ago. So right now we have a Bitcoin Education Center here. What it means, we do a lot of education for schools, on the island. So we are doing Bitcoin diplomas developed by Nipimer Bitcoin in El Salvador. We already did five graduations here. We work with the local schools on monetary literacy. So we teach them also about money, history of money. We are onboarding new merchants. Currently, we onboarded almost 60 merchants into Bitcoin, mostly with Blink Wallet. And we teach them how to do also self-custody, do workshops on Trezor, how to set up cold storage, and trying to jumpstart the circular economy here. Currently, we are announcing a Bitcoin Merchant Association that will even better promote merchants and the activities they are doing, give them more exposure, marketing, education. So we are helping the locals, the kids, the schools, plus the merchants. And right now we want to start a new project that we brainstormed like 2 days ago, which is a miner for a community. So we want to dedicate one miner of our hydro site that we have in Paraguay that will be mining for a local community here. There are a couple of those, and we want to maybe later on dedicate each miner to each and every one of them. So the miner will be mining, and every month, whatever will be mined will be distributed to the community, to their Blink wallets. So we want to help them out at a Blink, and the donation will be made based on their education with Izer application, which is like a dual on Bitcoin. And you can do batch payments over Blink wallet, which I tested and works perfectly. So this is a very fresh project that we want to deploy, how to connect the creation of Bitcoin in Paraguay directly into the community to jumpstarting the circularity. So we are playing along with various projects, but the whole mission of METH is Bitcoin education. Our big goal is to welcome 100 million people in the Bitcoin rabbit hole.
Amazing. I love that founding story. And I think it also shows the willingness of Prosper to just get stuff done. I think being to Roatán and seeing the center that you have, the house, it's just a really amazing building. It's a whole building at the top of a hill overlooking the beautiful island. And it's just a really cool place to go. So, okay. What is unit of account? I'll kick this off and I'll start with a personal angle. I'm an entrepreneur. I have been an entrepreneur for the past 15 years. I started my first tech company back in 2010. It was a service to sign documents electronically. Since we sold the company in 2020, I've been building my next software business. We haven't launched yet. And as part of my preparations for how to roll this out in a global manner, being a Bitcoiner, I was also thinking, how can I receive payments in Bitcoin in a simple way? I've done transactions in my businesses before in Bitcoin, and unfortunately, I stopped, or I've been avoiding it because my accountants were getting brain freeze and asking extra questions. And they kind of got stuck in a way that I just felt I don't have the energy to explain for these transactions what to do, how to do. I've just felt too much friction to do the transactions in Bitcoin. I wasn't too eager to import that into my new business. And secondly, I have employees that like to be paid in Bitcoin. And I'd like to be able to facilitate that for them in an easy way, again, without having the headaches with the accountants and then the auditors, and without wondering, okay, is the auditor going to make a lot of extra questions? So discovering Roatán and Prospera, when Dusan invited me over to see for myself what it was when I traveled to El Salvador in 2022, I just realized this is a really incredible jurisdiction that seems to be currency neutral. So it seems like they could also be able to allow to have Bitcoin as unit of account. And if you have the unit of account in Bitcoin instead of, say, dollars or euro, it means that you record the transactions in your accounting in Bitcoin. So normally, if you have the dollar as unit of account, you write $10 for this ice cream, and then that's what goes into the books. And then you finalize your year-end report in dollars. If you do board reporting, you do it in dollars. And what happens if you do transactions in other currencies is that you always have to record the dollar value of each transaction. Now, the same thing applies if you have US dollar and you transact in Bitcoin. Well, then you have to record the dollar value for every transaction that you make. You made the transaction in Bitcoin, but you always have to record the dollar value. So you end up recording two currencies every time you transact in the currency that's not the unit of account for your business. And maybe it doesn't sound very annoying, but the fact is that entrepreneurs tend to not love administration. So very often the accounting is done the month after or the quarter after, or even at the end of the year. If you don't have that much business, many transactions, you just try to do everything at the end of the year. And if you haven't recorded the dollar value of the Bitcoin at the time you were making the transaction, suddenly you have a lot of headache because you have to go back and try to figure out what was the actual price? Where is this? Where is that? And when you try to find receipts, if the receipt was in the dollar value, you paid in Bitcoin and you don't know what the conversion rate was, well, good luck trying to find the right receipt. So basically, you can get a lot of headache trying to match the dollar value with the Bitcoin value. And for you that is not maybe an entrepreneur, maybe it's hard to grasp how frustrating this could be. But imagine that you have, say, hundreds or even thousands of transactions, and now you have to sit with each transaction and do this research work. It becomes unnecessarily cumbersome. And especially with Bitcoin software, there's a lot of software in Bitcoin that is not really prepared for proper business use. So it doesn't record the US dollar or other currency value of the Bitcoin when you're doing the transaction. So in the normal fiat world, when you're, say, transacting in euro, but you have dollar as unit of account, you will almost always get the dollar value as well from the software, which is not always the norm in Bitcoin. So that's a little bit of an introduction of what unit of account can mean for a business. So for my personal strategy, and I think for most entrepreneurs, it's not that you will only have your business in Prospera and only use Bitcoin as unit of account. You would probably have a dollar part of your business incorporated wherever it's relevant for you. So Delaware or El Salvador or South Africa. And then you would do all the fiat transactions through that entity. And then you could have a Bitcoin as unit of account entity in Prospera, and you do all the transactions in Bitcoin through that entity, and you don't even have to have a bank account there because you're doing everything in Bitcoin, right? And Bitcoin is a permissionless bank. You can open an account there whenever you want and transact however you want. So that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have an entity in Delaware. I'm also going to have a Prospera entity, maybe one in Asia, Singapore, for example, for Asian customers. So it's not an entity necessarily for everything you do. It's an entity for your Bitcoin part of the business.
If I have to summarize, it's a very content-specific issue, right? So I can imagine if you have to shadow keep every transaction, and you have many of those, it can be quite cumbersome for your accountant, correct? So I guess the real win here is that once you do your accounting in Bitcoin itself, you don't have to do that shadow accounting. So I never realized this was like a major pain point, but then again, I'm not an entrepreneur like you are. So I'm curious, what is the tax department going to do with that Bitcoin? Are you guys planning to hold that in Bitcoin as well? Or do you have another strategy for that?
So how the public revenues of Prospera City are divided is that 44% of all revenues go to the general service provider, which is a private company to which a lot of the governance functions were offloaded to. So 44% of those revenues is going to depend to, you know, management and ownership of general service provider to determine what they want to do with their part. And then the SEDE itself, which is the local public government, keeps 44%. And I believe we're keeping it in Bitcoin. I have to check on that, but it would be up for the council. There's a local Prospera City Council. It's like a municipal council, like city hall. And so it would be up to the council to decide, probably with a 2/3 majority. And then there's 12% that goes to the Honduran government, to the Honduran central government. So it would be up to them to decide if they want to keep it in Bitcoin or, well, I think their part, actually, we converted to US dollar and put it in a trust for the government of Honduras. So really, it would depend what each of those three parties wants to do with the funds, really. In the case of the local government, which is the one that I represent, I'm fairly certain we're keeping it in Bitcoin, but I'll have to check on that.
Nice. Hey, Emilio, you had some thoughts with regards to your Scuba operation when it comes to Bitcoin as unit of account.
Yes, thank you. And you know, this is probably a wider question beyond the scope of the scuba shop itself, but as an entrepreneur, how should I think of being denominated in Bitcoin when it comes to paying taxes is part one of the question. So for instance, if the taxes are a percent of revenue and all of a sudden Bitcoin appraises, does my tax obligation go up proportionately, where it probably would not have gone up if I were dollar denominated? If you could help me think through that, that would be helpful.
Perfect. No, no, for sure. So right now, in your case, which you already have a business operation in Prospera City, you can go to prosperacity.hn and there is a section that's called services. Within that section, there's another one that says tax documents. So there you will find a form. It's an Adobe form. You can click on it. It says BTC as unit of account. You click on it. You fill out the form. It's very simple. You just basically inform the tax commissioner that you're going to run your operations using Bitcoin as unit of account. And then that's it for that part. With regards to paying taxes, the answer is yes. If you operate under Bitcoin as unit of accounts, we apply Prospera City income tax as we would to any other currency. So, for example, if you receive $100,000, then we will collect 1% of those $100,000. If you elect Bitcoin as unit of accounts and you receive one Bitcoin, two Bitcoins, whatever amount you receive, we're going to collect 1% of that amount. And yes, we'll be using Bitcoin as unit of account. So we'll be 1% of whatever amount of Bitcoin you received as business income during the previous fiscal year. And then depending on the price of Bitcoin, then that could either increase or lower your tax liability if you use the US dollar as reference.
Okay, thank you. And just from a business valuation standpoint, if the day ever came where I wanted to sell my business and exit the market, the same would hold true potentially, right? Or is this just a tax play for bookkeeping purposes? Because if we're going to valuate the business on its revenues, a multiple of income, and that the Bitcoin price goes up, then the business is more valuable. If it goes down, the valuation of the business goes down as well.
I think selling your business will typically be denominated in the currency that, say, the buyer will understand. So I would guess that most buyers will not be comfortable trying to evaluate your operations in Bitcoin. So you'll probably interact with them using financial statements in US dollars or euros.
So Bitcoin is something that allows us to live in a deflationary society where the cost of things go down over time because it holds its value, unlike the fiat currencies we're used to dealing with. So I could see a lot of businesses that are paying more for their product in Bitcoin terms than they ultimately wind up selling it for because of that nature. So I'm just curious to how that impacts things for Prospera. And then I'm just curious if anybody knows for, you know, somebody that's a US citizen that has to report foreign profits or losses, would they be able to show a loss in Bitcoin terms as they report back to the US government? Or do you know how that works on a practical level? So if you have 100 Bitcoin in gross revenue for the year, you're going to owe one Bitcoin in taxes, regardless of you had a loss or a profit.
Correct. Correct. That is true. And the option we also provide is that as a governance service that wants to be responsive to the market, we also have a most favored nation treatment. So if you're able to accredit it to Prospera City, you know, if you're able to prove to us that you get a better treatment in any other tax jurisdiction in the world that can be legitimately for your business, then we're open to match that. You can match that and it's provided for the tax statute. So yes, so 1% gross revenues, unless you can prove to us that another jurisdiction is giving you a better deal, in which case we will match that.
Would that hold true if that other jurisdiction is also Prospera, meaning comparing my business, had it been unit of account denominated in US dollars versus unit of account denominated in Bitcoin, you know, if I would have had a better or a lower tax obligation, if I would have gone the route of US dollars being denominated in US dollars, would you then match that?
No. In that case, you pay in accordance with the accounting regime that you elected, right? So if you elect a dollar, you pay in dollar. If you elect a Bitcoin, you pay in Bitcoin.
Okay, thank you.
What about the second part of my question, that if you showed a loss in Bitcoin terms?
Mike, can I jump in there? Because I was thinking about that question. I have a follow-up question back to you. As an American citizen, do you have to report your foreign entities and the transactions, or say the annual statements of your foreign entities?
I know you have to report your worldwide income. I don't have any entities outside the US, so I don't know the ins and outs of that. But that's why I was curious if somebody on here understood that. That's one of the big things for Americans to set up a foreign business. It doesn't benefit you much because you still owe taxes to the US. So I'm just curious if this would be almost kind of a workaround for US citizens to be able to, you know, effectively show a loss most of the time if they're operating on a Bitcoin standard.
Yeah. So Mike, I think this doesn't really apply in this case. Prosper is a foreign jurisdiction to the US, and the individual tax will only apply if you make a dividend from the companies. That's usually how it works. Your personal tax is only relevant to your residency jurisdiction if you make a dividend from the company that you own. So as long as you keep it within the company, the profits, then you should probably not have any complications with the US. Could imagine it could be a bit weird to report the Bitcoin profits in your entity to the US tax office, but I can't imagine that's how it works. It shouldn't be a complication.
For the taxes you pay in Prospera, you should be able to get a foreign tax credit. And then depending if the operation was profitable or a loss, then that will be entirely dependent on the US tax system. I understand that there's a regime, it's called foreign control corporations, in which US businesses with corporations abroad that are controlled by them, those have to be reported to the IRS. I know a couple of businesses that have entities in Prospera City that do that. But whatever tax you pay in Prospera, you have the documents, you have the receipts. And my understanding is that you should be able to get a foreign tax credit with the IRS.
Hey, I'd like to bring in Kutatsu from Machankura. Machankura is mainly operating on a Bitcoin standard already. KG, would you mind sharing with the listeners some of your experiences with the discrepancy between having to operate on a US dollar unit of account whilst you're transacting mainly in Bitcoin?
Cool. So basically, I still have most of the issues that you spoke about earlier, where, you know, you still have to explain to the accountant how what is working and, you know, why something is a little different from how they're used to it. Also, wallets don't give you the same type of integrations that your bank account gives you, where you could import a monthly bank statement or something like that. And I don't think there's any single wallet that even gives you monthly bank statement that you could give to an accountant for reconciling purposes. One of the biggest problems then on my side is also the fact that we would do the USD accounting and then we'd also do the South African rand accounting, right? And then there's sits Bitcoin in between these two companies. And yeah, all of them will do some Bitcoin for whatever reasons. So then having the ability to do the accounting in Bitcoin effectively offers us an opportunity to have a single way to do the books in different countries, where can be option where the funds move from the USD account to Bitcoin account. And then the Bitcoin account could say, okay, these funds moved from USD and then on to ZAR or whatever else. So yeah, without that, you then have to sit with an accountant and explain to them, okay, you moved funds in this fashion and so on and so forth. Yeah. The other thing that became evident when you were still working on this, it was effectively the capital gains technically doesn't exist, right? And I think that is one major plus if you are using Bitcoin as a unit of account. The capital gains don't exist. So whereas you would have had to keep track of the Bitcoin value at the time you acquired it and at the time that you had to spend it so that you could do capital gains, with Bitcoin as a unit of account, you don't have to do capital gains. And I think with what I've heard Jorge say with regards to the income taxes, that also makes sense, where if you do income for 100 Bitcoin, then you own one Bitcoin for taxes instead of, you know, having to calculate capital gains taxes after as well, where you're going to be paying the tax. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a really important point. Thanks for bringing that up. So what KG is saying is that at the point when you would be spending the Bitcoin, if you use the dollar as the unit of account, you would also have a capital gains potentially at the time when you're spending the Bitcoin. So even more accounting headaches, basically, for every transaction. So you just eliminate all that complication. KG, one follow-up question. So basically, when you talk to the accountants, what is it that they don't understand? Or could you give us a little bit more flavor to that?
Oh, yeah. So I've been fortunate enough that I don't have to talk directly to the accountants.
All right.
There's an awesome lady. She's like the buffer between me and normal accountants. But the times that I've been in calls with normal accountants, what has happened is they expect me to use an exchange. So they don't have the concept of a Bitcoin wallet, like a self-custodial Bitcoin wallet. And with an exchange, the things that they expect is, of course, to see, oh, you traded Bitcoin on this day for a set amount, and it was worth however much on that exchange on the day you did the trade. But on a self-custodial wallet, the wallet doesn't even record the fiat value, or maybe it doesn't if you didn't set it to have the fiat value. So you would still have to then show, okay, that much Bitcoin was worth however much the payment was worth. Yeah, I think you had mentioned this earlier on then keeping the receipts and then correlating the receipts to the Bitcoin transactions and so on and so forth.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's really a nightmare. I think most people don't understand how horrible it is to try to chase old receipts, even when you're using, say, a normal fiat currency, even worse when you're trying to chase the Bitcoin receipts. Mike, I'd like to direct the word to you and ask if you see any synergy between what's happening in El Salvador and businesses in El Salvador. Do you think this could be in any way, say, useful for a dual company setup or nonprofit setup for nonprofits or companies operating in El Salvador that maybe would like to have an entity in El Salvador, but also simplify the Bitcoin portion with Prospera? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it would obviously make things a lot easier to just be on a Bitcoin standard. And you know, right now, even though Bitcoin's legal tender in El Salvador, they do require for accounting purposes everything to be stated also in, like, to keep your books in dollar terms. So you have that kind of double work. And to some extent, it defeats the purpose. I mean, I understand why maybe they would have set that up, because probably the people writing those regulations are not Bitcoiners and they're trying to put a round peg into a square hole. I'm trying to understand the legal implications of having multiple entities set up in different jurisdictions and how that reporting between those happens. And I'm sure there's definitely a way to optimize that. And that's why I'm asking maybe some stupid questions along the way here and trying to understand how that works. And then, you know, also being a US citizen complicates that even more because of the worldwide taxation system and just the long arms that the US government has and how they want to be in everybody's business, no matter where they are in the world. So I'm trying to understand how we could make this integrate and how those synergies might work, because there's lots of companies that really are looking for that. And I could see them setting up operations in El Salvador, but also having their legal entity housed in Prospera.
Is there any banks in El Salvador that are already supporting, say, deposits in Bitcoin, or do you have to do everything via Chivo?
I think that there's a couple companies that have tenuous relationships with the banks where you can move stuff back and forth. I mean, Chivo is the only one that, and I won't say seamless because nothing about Chivo is seamless. I mean, I know lots of people have had their accounts locked for trying to move even small funds back and forth. So I'm definitely not recommending Chivo. But when it works well for the people. But that's one of the big challenges. The banking system in El Salvador is just horrific, and the banks don't like Bitcoin. Part of that is, I think they see Bitcoin as basically putting them out of business long term, but also they're very scared of the US government and being cut off SWIFT. And so even though Bitcoin is legal tender in El Salvador, a lot of the Bitcoin companies have to obfuscate their Bitcoin transactions when they're dealing with the banks. Is there banking in Prospera that supports this? And would that be something that would be a benefit to companies to locate in? Or are Honduran banks just as horrible to deal with as Salvadoran banks?
In the case of Honduras, Prospera started operations in 2020, and frankly, everything was going great with the local banks. I only opened almost 100 accounts for Prosper Seda entities and was negotiating funding for real estate projects. The issue here became with the change of government. Socialist government came to power, and basically they pressured the local Honduran banks not to service us. And this was also a reason why we doubled down on Bitcoin, you know, to be able to secure more financial freedom from these types of attacks. So in terms of banking, right now we are entirely dependent on foreign banks. You know, so Prosper entities can get bank accounts in foreign banks. We have a list of banks that have opened accounts for Prosper Asset entities. And there is one particular bank that offers, not with Bitcoin directly, but with USDC. So you can transfer USDC and it gets converted to US dollar. They also offer trust services for Bitcoin accounts with them. So this is a Bitcoin friendly bank as much as possible within their regulatory framework. I'm going to avoid mentioning the bank in public. You can reach me out. Tell you directly, last time I mentioned how a bank was supporting us, and you know, everyone got into trouble with the regulatory authorities in Honduras. Yeah, that's the case. There's international bank servicing Prosper entities. I believe they're as much crypto-friendly as possible.
One thing that struck me when I heard you speak, Mike, was that the Prosper entities could be used by Salvadorian entrepreneurs operating in El Salvador to isolate the Bitcoin portion of the business from the Salvadorian banking system. So that's one immediate use case that comes to mind, just basically avoiding Chivo and those things, and also what Jorge was talking about now. So basically, you want to shift between the normal banking system and Bitcoin as little as possible in general, and this enables you to operate your Bitcoin portion independently of the banking system. Of course, you may need to transact back into the banking system from time to time, but then it's not something continuous. It's something you can do from time to time. Dusan, if there's anything that you're thinking about with regards to the AmitiH operation or any of your other endeavors with regards to applying Bitcoin as unit of account for you guys?
Yeah, so we were thinking about that. We are going to explore more possibilities. We have education classes already sometimes denominated in sets. I was thinking like this would be the first thing that we can separate into the Bitcoin unit of account sub-company. So that would be the first step. Then like we have the cafeteria here, which so far is denominated in dollars because when tourists come from cruise ships and they see, okay, the coffee is, I don't know, $3. If I put sets there, like let's say it's 10,000 sets, it would be hard for them to just think that and just realize that it can be like an interesting experiment how they would treat it, and it opens up a way for discussion with them. So we were also thinking to doing that. And if we do that, that would be easier to shift the whole building and cafeteria into Bitcoin unit of account as well. So there are a couple of ways we need to figure out how to approach it. But definitely it's something worthwhile exploring, experiment with that as well, because if you really think and believe that Bitcoin will become the global money, it's very interesting to start right now and to figure out what works and what needs some improvements. And for me, coming from Slovakia and switching from Slovak crowns to euros in 2009, basically shifting the whole unit of account and thinking process, it took us a couple of years just to think in euros. It's an interesting way to be flexible in your mind. So definitely this is something we will be experimenting with.
Hey, Dusan, I think it was really good you brought up the prices and the pricing of coffee. This is one thing that is easy to conflate, that actually the pricing of things, you can still keep pricing in dollars. And I'm not saying this necessarily to you, Dusan. I'm saying it to the listeners that as a coffee business or like cafeteria, you could price your buns and your coffees and your teas and your juices in dollars so that the customer understands, okay, I'm going to pay $3 for this coffee. Whilst at the same time, if you do so that everybody has to pay with Bitcoin, okay, so you type in $3 in your wallet of Satoshi or your Bitcoin Beach wallet, and then will automatically calculate the number of sats that you have to pay. And they pay. And then as a business, you receive a certain amount of Bitcoin, and you don't even have to in your accounting write this is like a $10 or a $3 coffee. You just write this is a 56,000 sats coffee. And same for your salaries that you're paying. You could denominate the salary. Okay, we're paying $2,500. So every month when it's time to pay the salary, you are calculating the SATS value, and that's what you put on the book. When it's time to report your tax, according to the regulation, you would check what was the price of Bitcoin 1 a.m. Pacific time, the day that I'm going to type in this value. And then you will type in the dollar value, because currently the Prosperous system doesn't support to type in a Bitcoin value.
I agree with what you're saying. I understand from a practical level. I do think as Bitcoiners, we should always strive to make SATS the unit of account. And so I know there's going to be a transition period. And I know sometimes people have a hard time thinking in that. But I think that's something we should always be striving for, is to move away from fiat and to move to SAT pricing. So just my two SATs on this issue.
Yep, definitely agree, guys. And you are right, Lucas, in what you're saying. Like, we don't need to have fixed prices in SATs, but we can account for SATs. And that's basically right now all the salaries that we pay in METH, all the baristas and teachers here that we pay, everything is paid in Bitcoins by default. I put it into my accountancy books, everything in Bitcoin as well. Sometimes, maybe like 50-50 right now, we are charging for coffee and bagels and stuff here, Bitcoin and dollars, because sometimes when the cruise shippers come, you know, they are in a rush, so we don't have time to set up wallets and buy the Bitcoin for them and everything, although we try as much as we can. Right now, a Lightning ATM is coming to our place, which will speed this up a lot. They can just dump their shitcoins in the ATM and they can just be ready in 2 minutes to pay with Lightning. So we can even make it, in a sense, mandatory to pay with Bitcoin for all the things in the cafeteria. And that would really make us almost 100% on Bitcoin as a unit of account.
I mean, just in summary, it sounds like the wider implication of this is obviously that everybody is on a Bitcoin standard, and then you won't need the banks to begin with. But in the short term, it's also a play to eliminate, from an accounting standpoint, the transaction cost of having to convert and to keep up with any gains from converting currencies at the point of sale in exchange for making the conversion once just before paying taxes. That's all on the positive upside. And then on the downside, there seems to be maybe a tax exposure going forward when you come down to paying taxes if you're denominated in a currency that can spike up on you on the day that you're going to pay taxes. That may just be a growing pain of where we are in the adoption. But other than that, I think it's a very positive initiative and law, and it makes Prospera certainly a place to look at if you're looking to settle down and move on to a Bitcoin standard. So all positives, I think, across the board.
Emilio, you already have Prospera entity. Are you planning to convert it into Bitcoin as unit of account, or would you open a new one, or what are you?
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense for us to convert the existing business that we've established and we have GAAP accounting in place for. It does make sense, however, for us to probably start a second company and just have that entity take credit for any Bitcoin received when somebody offers to pay us in Bitcoin. So right now, I think maybe less than 10% of our annual sales are received in Bitcoin. It's actually less than that. We've had an uptick with, you know, existing conference that's in place right now for the first 3 months of this year. But I think what makes sense is to keep the legacy company in place as it's been, open up a new entity, and use that entity for the purposes of receiving Bitcoin payments, paying taxes on those Bitcoin gains or those Bitcoin revenues at the end of the year. That way, you know, I also will have two entities running side by side, and I can, know, better understand what the benefits or exposures are to being this early and adopting, you know, will ultimately be a powerful tool to be on the Bitcoin standard, but it might have some short-term exposure that need to be addressed.
And you don't feel that it would be complicated for you to have two Prosper entities?
No, on the contrary, I mean, the ease of doing business, I'm never excited about paying taxes, but I can honestly tell you that I look forward to paying my own taxes here at Prospera. I do them myself. I'm three clicks away. There's never, you know, an accountant in the middle of it. So having one or more than one entities is a breeze. Okay, so that's not an issue whatsoever. It's a hidden benefit of operating, you know, within the Prospera ecosystem.
Prospera, I think it will have something completely unique to offer the Bitcoin world, and also a way to engage with this fairly substantial economy, which is the Bitcoin hodlers. And it's already attracted one major Bitcoin company that's right now, as we speak, in Prospera, doing their offsite there, checking out what is this place. that is so open and friendly to Bitcoin, so innovative and daring to do this. So thank you also to Prospera for this step. On behalf of us Bitcoiners, and of course, from me personally, I'm so happy that I can do this for my own business.
Thanks to all of you, and thanks to the community, really. You know, as you said, El Salvador adopted Bitcoin as legal tender, and that came with some challenges internationally. We also have our own challenges, and I've mentioned this before, but well, counting with the support of your community, this also helps us become more resilient to these political backfires. Bitcoin has been very crucial for us to be able to sustain and operate the Prospera Sede special economic zone, particularly because of the political attacks directed through the traditional financial system. And I cannot underestimate how important Bitcoin has been for us to be able to continue our operations in several key areas. So this is also part of the reason that we want to become more friendly and more pro-Bitcoin jurisdiction, because it's a symbiotic relationship. Bitcoin has allowed us to uphold the rule of law in Honduras, and that's very important to us.
Just a final inquiry for the benefit of the users and anybody else that wanted to follow up on this initiative. Are there professional accountants on site within Prospera or anybody that could do some hand-holding as people look to onboard? What are the resources for that?
What I would recommend is every Friday we have onboarding sessions. Those sessions are usually with me or with Nick Drainius, that serves as general counsel for Honduras Prospera Inc. That's the promoter and organizer of Prospera Sede. And we have a list of trusted legal and accounting service providers, which we can share. But Fridays are days of questions and onboarding businesses into Prospera Sede. So we're at your services, and just go to prosperasede.hn services. And then in there, you can pick a date for an onboarding meeting with me or with Nick Drainius.
And I'd like to add that as a part of the conversations prior to this decision, I made the commitment that I will help personally with Bitcoin specific questions. If anyone wants to try to understand more, happy to take any questions, have a meeting. I've had multiple businesses and entrepreneurs reach out to me asking specifics. I had a meeting yesterday talking about this in depth. And also Dusan mentioned that there's some Slovak accountants that are looking to come to Prospera, and they have experience working with Bitcoin accounting. So making sure that you don't have any lacking service for your Bitcoin accounting purposes. Also, if you just want to come and check out Prospera, you don't have to actually go there to set up the business. Everything works perfectly remote, but if you actually want to go there, I highly recommend to connect with Dusan Amity Age to be on the ground. That's what this company did that are doing their offsite now. And also you need to dive down to Satoshi's grave. Emilio will show you Satoshi's grave. You can put the flowers there, the bottom of the sea. Yeah, it's a very important experience as a Bitcoiner, you know, pay the homage to Mr. Satoshi.
Thank you, Lucas. It was great that we put it together, and big thanks to Prospera for really taking the lead here. As you said, if Bitcoiners will come to the island, let us know, guys. We would love to, you know, show you around, show you our beautiful pirate island. We are actually starting to do like a 5-day Bitcoin pirate tours here on Roatan. So reach out to us, and we want to show the best places on Roatan, and then you can set up here, and we have much better and bigger Bitcoin community from around the world.
And don't miss that you should definitely do the route San Salvador to Roatan. There's a direct flight, so Mike and the work that they're doing in El Salvador is amazing. So you can actually check out both places. It's just a 1-hour flight or something like that. Jorge.
Same here. Very, very grateful to all of you. And we want to support you, and you have for us, the Bitcoin community. Hopefully you set up a business here in Prospera or come visit us. And it's just a beautiful island here. I just love Roatan. It's beautiful. So hopefully you come visit.
And with those words, I just want to end with a picture. Imagine sitting, looking out over the ocean. It's sunset. You're sitting at Las Verandas, which is the resort located in the Prospera jurisdiction. You're having a tequila or drink a beer together with Emilio, and you have him blow your brains out with crazy Bitcoin philosophy. This is what happened to me. I had such a great time visiting Prospera, And thank you very much also, Dusan, for the incredible hospitality when I visited. So yeah, great work.